Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have now to open your word. We realize that it's a great privilege to have it. In fact, I think sometimes, where would we be without it? It's just such a great help. It is our life, and we thank you for what you've given to us. We thank you for what Gary read earlier for us in the scripture reading time, and I pray now that as we go to this time of looking at this passage, you would help us not simply to understand it, but to live it. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, I'd like to encourage you to turn to that portion of scripture which Gary did read earlier, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. This is the portion of scripture that we'll be looking at this morning. If you have the light, if you have the light. You know, compared to past societies and even some remote societies today, light is very accessible. I mean, if this room were darkened, all you'd have to do is go flip a few switches and we would have light like we have here this morning. It's abundant. And if you were going to drive someplace tonight, all you'd have to do is flip on your headlights and you have lights in front of you as you travel. It takes away a lot of the problems that people in earlier days had as they were traveling. Where are we going? Right? So it's accessible. Now, one of the things that helps us remember and appreciate the light and what we have is when a thunderstorm comes and knocks out everything in your house power-wise, are you like me and you struggle, what can I do now? Well, go get into the computer. Oh, I can't do that. Turn on the TV. Can't do that, right? And you realize, I can't even turn the light. And so you pull out the light and you spend the candle and you spend time with your family. We have access to so much light now that we take it for granted. But it hasn't always been the case in the course of history and even in places around the world today. And you know what? We should be very thankful for the light that we have. But when we think of light spiritually, what does it mean? What does it mean? We're going to go through a series of scriptures here just briefly on the screen. We're just going to flash each up for a few seconds because this New Testament speaks a lot of light. And I just want to point to some of those now. If we looked at John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, we'd see that the light referred to here is speaking the light of Jesus. Jesus was the light who came into the world. If we looked at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus is saying to his disciples that you are the light. So those of us who follow him are to be the light as well. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we're told that God is light. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 to 6, we're told about the light of the gospel. The gospel is light as we share the good news of Christ with our world today. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, that light is spoken of in the context of us being exposed for the sin that's in our life. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, we see that light is being referred to as our perception. We're told that those whose eyes are light, have light, are those who understand spiritually what's going on. They have spiritual light in their lives, whereas those who don't understand spiritual truth, they're in darkness. And then, in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, we're told that Satan poses an angel of light, disguised in that way. We, of course, know he isn't, but he seeks to be seen in that way. But even though all these passages speak of the light and of sources of light, what the analogy of light applied to us and to things around us, we see that really the light that's being referred to here is really going back to what Mike talked about last week when we looked at chapter 8 verses 4 to 16 in the parable of the soils. We saw that the seed was the word of God, and as it entered hearts, it had different effects. That was the content of what last week was all about. But as we continue on, I'm going to suggest that God's word still continues to be at the center of the discussion, because if you look at verse 18, Jesus says, so take care how you listen. How you listen to what? To the things he's saying, to his word. So his word is still central in focus here. And then you take a look at the next few verses in verses 19 to 21, which we'll be taking up next week. Jesus finishes out that portion by saying, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So this passage is one of several that we're going to be considering here about God's word. And in this particular case, we're looking at God's word as light. And so that's primarily the idea of the light that we're talking about today, is the light of God's word. Do you have God's word? Yes. Well, hopefully you do. Hopefully you brought a Bible with you, or you have it on your phone or some other device that you may have with you. But you have God's word. We have it with us. So if we have it, so what? Well, here's the, it's a big so what. passage tells us that if you have the light, first of all, we need to shine it. That's what we see in verse 16. We need to shine it if we have the light. Verse 16 says, now no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. The lamp being spoken of here is a portable lamp. It's to illumine the pathway so that one can see where they're going, so one can see what's in front of them. It's portable, and so that means that, in applying it to our life, this is not a light we're talking about that we leave here on a Sunday morning and we leave the rest of the week and we don't have it. This is a lamp, a portable lamp that we can take with us. It's not left here. It's mobile. And so that's something to keep in mind. Jesus says no one takes this lamp and, first of all, covers it with a container. Now, in general, it meant some type of a vessel. Specifically, it could have been a bushel vessel that was talked about. One commentator suggested an application of this is that when we think of a container, we think of what they used industrial at that time. People used bushel baskets to, of course, put grain in or to carry things, items of commerce in. And so as you think about this, don't hide your light, your portable lamp, under your business, so to speak, was an application he made. I thought it was a good point. You know, when you take a look at the work that you do, the industry, the business, the work that you do, does the light of God's work shine forth? Or are you hide it there? What is true of your particular work situation? Now, I know that some of you are in work situations where you have to be careful what you can say. I understand that. But it doesn't mean that God's word applied to your life can't shine forth in that place. In fact, I would suggest there's nowhere that that word shouldn't shine forth. Okay, God's word applied in our life and us living it out should certainly shine. And so we shouldn't let our business or our work be a place where it's hidden. God's word should still continue to be held out as a light that gives light to those around us. And he goes on to say, no one puts it under a bed. You don't put this type of portable lamp under a bed to hide it. No, you want it out where people can see. Another commentator has said that a good application of this is that when you think of a bed, you think of someone who is sleeping, someone who's lazy. Okay, we shouldn't let spiritual laziness keep us from shining forth God's word too. That can be another way in which God's word is hid. One is that we're too busy or we hide the light of God's word where we are. The other one is that we're just too lazy about it. We allow our sleep, our slothfulness spiritually to keep us in the way. I think I'm gonna go. Having problems with my other mic here. But we see here that we're not to hide it in our slothfulness or laziness. Well, let me ask you this. Does spiritual laziness dim our light? Does our sort of apathy or laziness in the area of our prayer life or the Word of God or fellowship with other believers keep God's Word from coming forth in our light? Something we need to consider. Jesus says no one hides this light under a work container, under a bed, but they put it on a lampstand. What's true of a lampstand? Well, it's elevated, it's uncovered, and it's intentional. That's very true about when you put a light on a lampstand. Those things are all true. And the same thing should be true about the light of God's Word. We should seek to hold it out to people. I'm not saying that you're going to your workplace just holding a Bible up as you're doing your work. That's not what I'm talking about. But you're looking for chances to exalt God's Word. You're looking for chances to be able to speak it, to be able to refer someone to it. And so we want it to be able to put on the lampstand where it's elevated and covered and where it can be seen. I want to ask you this. When you look at the end of verse 16, it says, put it on the lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Now, who is it referring to, those who may come in? Well, it's those who don't have the light. You have the light of God's Word. But there are those who come into your life who do not have God's Word. And that's why when we put it out there, it gives them light. And that's certainly what I believe is being referred to here, is we need to allow those who don't have the light, who don't have Christ, to see that light, to experience that light, to understand it. This past week, you may have had the experience of having somebody put a little brochure on your door or make a phone call to your house about, hey, can we come check out your roof to see if there's any hail damage there? Anybody get a call like that? Well, we got one at our place. And there was a man who said he'd be over at our place some evening after I got back and to check it out. And so a man by the name of Danny came to my place. He was a supervisor of a roofing crew in the area working on roofs. And he went up on our roof and checked it out, said everything looked good. We should be good to go. That sounded great to me. But as he came down, I was just sort of wanting to ask him a couple of questions. So I just said, "Hey, Danny, can I just ask you a question?" He goes, "Sure." I said, "Do you happen to have any kind of spiritual belief at all?" And he goes, "Well," he says, "yeah." I said, "Do you have a church home at all?" He goes, "Yeah, I have a church that I go to." And he says, I'm a born-again Christian. So I followed it up with just saying, "Well, that's great, Danny. I'm glad to hear that. Tell me this, Danny, if the Lord were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say?" And he began to share with me a few things. And really where I wanted to go with it was to get him into God's Word. He, of course, he was in the middle of his work, so he couldn't take a lot of time. And that's typical a lot of times when you share with someone in a situation like that. So I just said, "Hey, Danny, I know you're busy, but you know where I live, right? You know where I'm like, you're right here at my place. If you want to come sometime and talk some more about these spiritual things, I'd love to take you out for coffee, and it's going to be on me. Be glad to do it." So it was just one opportunity this week to be able to talk to a man and see where he was. And I'd love to be able to talk to him further. But it's looking for those opportunities to see be able to have the light of God's Word shine into someone's life. Now, you know, let's face it, that hasn't happened to all of us all the time that we have somebody in our yard doing that. But what are some ways that we can shine the light of God's Word? Just some practical ideas for you. Number one, if you have a time with the Lord every day, a quiet time where you're reading Scripture, if you're like me, there are those times when you're reading along and then there's a particular verse or particular portion that just really reaches out and just grabs you. And as you begin to think about it, just you think about where you are in life and it's like, boy, this is really meaningful. This is speaking to right where I am today. Well, take one of those passages and pass it on to someone you might be talking about where that's a relevant part of the discussion. And just share with some of those verses. You know, I've been reading in my Bible lately and it says this. Just a way to kind of get it out there. And they can respond to it positively or negatively. You have to be certainly sensitive in that situation. But see where they are in that situation. That's one way to hold out the light. Another way is if you're involved with a small group or a Sunday school class, invite them to come to your Sunday school class, your small group. Another chance to expose them to the light. Another thing you can do is this. If you're talking to someone, just even asking, "Hey, I was wondering, do you happen to have a Bible?" It might surprise you how many people say, "You know, I don't really have one right now." And it'd be a great chance for you to say, "Well, hey, would it be okay if I got you one?" And give them a Bible. Say, "I'd love to give this to you so you can just check it out." Again, a chance to pass on God's light. I know the Gideons have a whole ministry around that, right? But it doesn't mean that personally we can't do that as well. They're a great model for all of us. And then a word to Sunday school teachers and small group leaders. Okay. Listen, I realize, especially if you have a regular group that you do or a regular class, it's a week in, week out preparation, and you can become tired. I know it can happen. And it's easy sometimes for you to become a little weary. But let me encourage you with this, okay? Every lesson that you give, every week that you're on, is an opportunity to hold up the light of God's Word. We are so unaware of the power of it. And I just want to encourage you with that. Realize that every time you lead your group, it's an opportunity for God's Word to give light to those who are there. And understand this, that we must learn the truths in order for us to share them with other people. Again, it's just reinforcement to all of us, whether you teach classes or not. It's important for us to be in God's Word so we have something to share. If we're not in God's Word, we're like a dry well, right? So we need to be in there and allow God's Word to fill us that we might have something to share with others. And then just this thought too. You know, when you live a truth from God's Word out, that's, I think, one of the most powerful ways to share His Word. We can say a lot of things, but when people begin to see us living out what we say, we believe, that speaks loudly to people, and they hear that. So realize again that our actions are so huge when it comes to shining out the light of God's Word. So if you have the light, shine it. Shine it. But secondly, if you have the light, secondly, know you will be exposed. Know you will be exposed. Look with me at verse 17. Jesus says, "For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light." So one thing light does is illumine, that we've just talked about, is it shines out. But another thing that it does is it exposes. It exposes. When I grew up, a portion of my childhood was spent in Georgia, Savannah, Georgia. And I remember as a child going into our family's pantry and turning on the light at night and seeing roaches just scuttle to hiding places throughout the pantry. How many of you have seen roaches before? You love them as much as I do? You want to love them with your shoe, right? But they're disgusting, right? Let's face it. They're the Millers of our country, right? The Miller moths. I mean, they're that way. And so, but you notice it with them with light, whereas with our Millers, it seems to attract them. With the roaches, they scurry away. And that's, you know, when the light of God's Word shines in our life, many times people want to scurry away because they don't want to be exposed. But that's what God's Word will do. It will expose us for what we have in our life, the sin and the things that may need to be corrected. But notice what Jesus says, that nothing is hidden that will not become evident. Nothing that's concealed or private can be kept from becoming manifest or being made apparent. And nothing secret, that might be something that's treasured or hidden. You know, there are things in our life that we may know are wrong, but we like that particular thing or sin, whatever it is. And so we try to hide it. We may even try to hide it from our family or our spouse. But we like that sin and we want to keep it private, but we like that. And this passage is saying there's nothing we have, nothing treasured, nothing hidden that won't be exposed. And that's one of the truths of God's Word, is that it's like a light that makes these things manifest in our life. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this, "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." I'd like you to have turn with me to a portion of Scripture that speaks again of God bringing to light what's in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. It's on page 131 of the New Testaments, if you're using the Bibles in the racks in front of you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. I'd like to just read this for you. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." Now, there's an aspect of our lives that should be open to one another, and our actions are oftentimes a lot easier to judge than our motives are. And by the way, if I have something in my life which is contradicting something which Scripture says, I hope you love me enough to come to me and say, "Dan, I see a conflict between what God's Word says here and what's in your life." And I would hopefully take that gracefully and receive it and confess it and repent of it and be able to allow God to work in my life. Okay? And actions are a little bit easier to do that with. But what Paul's talking about here are motives. And motives sometimes are much more difficult to judge. In fact, we can get into trouble when we try to judge people's motives, because really only God knows the motives of men's heart, men's and women's hearts. So we need to be careful about that. And Paul's saying, be careful about judging other people's motives. Their actions are easier, but their motives you have to be careful about, because you don't know those like God does. But with God, unlike us, with God, He even understands our motives. You realize we can do good things, but with wrong motives? I mean, to people it looks good on the outside, but God knows maybe the evil intent that we have with that action, whatever we're doing. God knows not only our actions, but the motivation of why we're doing that particular action. He'll bring that to light. So we need to understand that not just what we do, but our very actions will be brought to light. This passage is so convicting in the sense that God is exposing us through His Word. You know, God is exposing us with the truth now so that we'll not be exposed without the truth later. I say it again. He's exposing us with the truth now so that we'll not be exposed without the truth later. Peter, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, after the great catch of fish, came to Jesus and fell before Him, admitting his sinfulness. Peter recognized his sinfulness. Jesus exposed Peter's sinfulness and he recognized it. We're not going to turn there, but in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, remember two of the people in the story went and made good use of the talents they were given and they were commended by the master. But one of them went and hid the talent that he had and was really condemned by the master in that parable. We need to understand that he was exposed for his lack of being a good steward of the talent that he was given, that we too are going to be answerable to the Lord for what he has given us. You know, I read recently about a Chinese businessman who had heard about an American microscope that he was really excited about. He'd heard that you could look at small things and see incredible things you'd never seen before. So he ordered a microscope from America, and it came to his homeland, and he got it. He began looking at all types of things through this microscope, and he was amazed at what he saw. He put these little things under a microscope, and he saw things he'd never seen before. Finally, he decided, you know what? I'm going to put some rice. You know, rice, of course, is a huge staple over there in China. He puts some rice underneath the microscope, and what did he see with the rice? They were blown up, of course, but he saw little bugs crawling in between the rice. And he got so disgusted by it, he took that microscope and he just destroyed it. He pulverized it. Couldn't stand to see it. Well, you know, sometimes that's how people view, like, the Word of God when it exposes us. Listen, the microscope wasn't what is at fault, right? It was showing him what the truth was. Rather than dealing with getting the bugs out of the rice, he destroyed the very instrument that helped him see the impurity that was there. We want to make sure that spiritually we don't do that in our life. Yeah, it's uncomfortable to see the sin that's there, but we don't want to destroy the very tool that God can use to open that up to us, to expose that to us. Thomas Watson, a Puritan, said this. He said, take every word as spoken to yourselves. And when the word thunders against sin, recognize my sin. You know, again, recognizing that God's word exposes the sin that's in us. We need to be so tuned in and sensitive and allow God to reveal that to us. Well, how does God expose us through his word? How does that take place? Well, like me, I'm sure you've been reading the Word of God, maybe in your quiet time, sometime in the Word. And as you came across a verse, it was like, ouch, boy, that's a problem with me. Maybe you've had that experience before. Hopefully you have, as you've been in God's Word, because it shows His Holy Spirit is helping illuminate your mind and convicting you of the sin that's in your life. Or maybe you go to a Sunday school class or a small group, and in that group, and you're discussing things, and something somebody says just hits you, and you realize, oh, they just hit on something that I've got problems with. This is an issue that I have. Yep, I'm guilty there. And so God can use other believers around the Word of God, again, to help expose us in our own lives. You know, another place is our families. Remember my dad saying this to us as kids. He said, when we were fighting as brothers and sisters, he said, listen, the toughest place to be a Christian is in your own family. The reason that's true is because you're so familiar with everyone there, right? You know each other's faults more than anyone else. And if anyone wants to needle you, someone in your family can, right? If anyone wants to show lack of grace, ooh, there's a good chance to like pile on or put it to you, right? Family can be that way. But if you want a great place to practice your Christian faith, do it within the context of the family. I think there's a lot of truth to that. We get exposed with our sin and with our deficiencies in the family. Sermons can do that. Hey, I listen to sermons myself, and I know I'll be listening to a message sometime, and it's just like, so convicting. So God's Word in different ways can bring about that exposure that all of us need to have if we're going to be under His guidance and under His rule. Well, if you have the light, shine it. Secondly, know you'll be exposed. But thirdly, act on it. If you have the light, it's important that you act on it. It's interesting to look at verse 18. It says this. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. It's interesting when it says, take care, that is, beware how you listen. When we're talking about God's Word, we need to be very, very careful how we listen to God's Word. Now, I'm going to ask this question. How well do you listen? Guys, here's an application for you. Your wives send you to the grocery store to pick up some vegetables, to pick up a gallon of milk, to pick up some creamer that she wants, to pick up some fruit that she's seen, and she gives you the list, right? Then you take it to the store, and you come back with chips, Red Baron pizza, Dr. Pepper, and mixed nuts. How well did you listen? Not very well, right? Well, we can laugh about that, but you know, when it comes to God's Word, we need to make sure that we're listening well enough to satisfy what it is He's asking us to do. Now, here's another thing. Maybe you've asked your children this. So what did you learn in Sunday school today? Any of you ever ask your kids that on a Sunday afternoon? You never heard the, and an answer couldn't come forward, right? But it was just a few hours before. What happens? Listen, whether young or old, we sometimes have trouble listening when God's word goes forward. And we need to train ourselves. We need to train ourselves to be good listeners of his word. You know, I was taught about listening just recently when Beth and I were back in Nashville, Tennessee. For some of our breakfast there, we went to a Waffle House in the area. Any of you ever been to a Waffle House before? Okay. Here's what I was amazed about in the Waffle House. You go in the place, and they've got some booths that you can sit in, or you can sit right there at the counter. But you go in there, you give your order, the waitress will take down your order, and then she yells it out to the cook, and they go to work, and they get it to you pretty quick. I was pretty impressed with how quick they get their breakfast to you. Well, the first time we went in there, we sat in a booth. The second time, there was no room in the booths. So Beth and I ended up sitting at the counter right in front of the cooks. Right in front of the cooks. And it was amazing to both of us, actually, because what would happen is the waitress would call in the order, and these guys would put the food down, and without anything, they're not writing anything down. They don't get notes or anything. They're just having to get the breakfast together, and they put it out. They're putting these breakfasts out fast. And it's an amazing thing. These guys listen. You know what the key is? You know why they were such good listeners? And I think we can learn from this spiritually. Because I watched them through these different orders to see, why are you doing this? See, here's the deal. I would have been like so nervous. I'd have been so worried. I don't have it written down someplace. I'm going to mess this order up. But here's how they dealt with it. When they heard the order, immediately they put down on the grill what they needed to put down on the grill right away. They just, boom, it was there. And they got it down right away, and then they were cooking. And I noticed that after a while, once things lapsed a little bit, they were talking about the Tennessee Titans and what they should have done during the offseason differently, because that's their team down there, you know. They're talking about that. These two cooks are together, having fun with each other. And then another waitress calls in the order, and guess what? Tennessee Titans get dropped, and they're boom on. They're just really focused again until they get things kind of in a controllable way. But that was their process of listening. They acted on it immediately, not messing around, not saying, well, I'll put that stuff on the griddle here in just a moment. I need to finish the Tennessee Titan discussion. No. When they heard it, they acted on it. Now, I want to just give you something here to think about when we think about taking God's word and applying it immediately. When I listen to a message myself, or when I'm listening to a Bible teacher teach, now I'm just talking about what I have to do for myself. Okay? You may be differently. You may be different. But I find that for myself, taking notes is so important. If I write it down, I'm more likely to remember. For you, it may be a different way. Or you may just have that type of memory. You just got it. Boy, I'm sure thankful that's true for you. But I have to write it down. I need a little help. Okay, so I write it down. And I try to put it in a place where I can be able to implement an application from that even within that day or that week. Lord, help me to apply this today. You see, God wants us to be people who are not just listening to his word, but are doing it. There are other places in Scripture that just reinforce that. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, if you're using the racks, Bibles and racks in front of you, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." In the case of these builders, they both heard the same words. One acted on it, the other one didn't. The one who didn't act on it suffered devastation. The one who acted upon it, okay, the one who acted upon it had a firm foundation, had a firm house. I would just say to us, are we characteristically people who just simply hear and say, that was nice, and move on? Or are we people who hear and seek to apply what God is saying to us in his word? Where are we with that? Another passage I'd like to just read is James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Again, if you're using the Bibles on the racks in front of you, it would be page 178 of the New Testament. But let's just read these verses. Again, just a reminder of what we've already heard. says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Notice that, delude themselves. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." This man will be blessed in what he does. Again, this passage here says, there are those who have the word. That is those who hear it and who do it. They're the ones who really hold it. There's some who hear it and they think they have it, but because they don't do it, they don't really have it. You know, you really don't have the truth until the truth has hold of you. You really don't have the truth until you're living out the truth that you know. Otherwise, you deceive yourself, the scriptures tell us. So are we authentic? Are we real? Are we the real deal? Are we genuine? Do we have the truth? Not just knowing it, but practicing it? Or are we hypocrites? Are we fakes? Are we phony? Are we deceived? Something we have to ask ourselves. As we get close to closing out this morning, I have three application questions I'd like to give you. Three application questions I'd like you to have and consider this week. Something to chew on, something to take to heart as we leave this passage. And here we go. The first question is this. Personalizing it. How can I more effectively shine the light of God's Word this week? How can I more effectively shine the light of God's Word this week? We've been talking about it, but how can that more effectively take place in our life this week? You know, earlier I shared about Danny, the man who came and took a look at my roof. But the truth of the matter is, this past week, my family was on vacation. We were rafting down the Colorado River, and we happened to be rafting down with a family, a couple that was from Atlanta, Georgia. We spent time traveling up to the rafting spot. We rafted with them in the same raft. We came back, spent all that time with them. And during part of the discussion or time with them, I was just thinking, how can we turn this to spiritual things? How can we introduce God's word to these folks? See where they are with it. And in spite of my thinking about it, never said a word the whole time. I don't always take advantage of the opportunities that are there. There are a lot of times I don't. But the encouraging thing was, this man took a lot of pictures of our crew that whole trip down. He says, "Listen," and we didn't have a camera with us. He said, "I've got the pictures, which I'll send to you and I'll email to you. If you'll give me your email address, I'll do it." So he left me his business card, and I'm going to be doing that this next week. But I want to prayerfully consider, as I email with him, how I might even be able just to be able to introduce some spiritual things to him. We had a great conversations, but how can God's light even be held up in that relationship? Just something I'm personally praying through from an incident this past week. So how can I more effectively shine the light of God's word this week? Think about that in your own life. How can that be true as you're walking and relating to other people? Here's the second question, and this relates to us having ourselves exposed with the truth. I want you to ask a family member or a friend this question. Am I teachable? And then just be quiet. No defense. No excusing the way you do it or their answer that you hear. But just ask them. Again, family members know you as well as anyone else. Am I teachable? Because, you know, when it comes to God's word, one of the real keys is, will I respond to what God's word is instructing me? Will I be teachable? When we're exposed with the light, will we confess it, repent of it, or will we resist it? Or will we ignore it? And I think if we want to have God's word expose our life, we need to be honest and allow other people to speak into our life. But let it be a self-revealing thing. Am I teachable? And here's the third thing. What is one thing I know I should be doing, but I am not? And do it this week. Or another way, I guess you could do this. What's one thing I am not doing that I will do? And so ask that question. You know, we know a lot of what God's Word says. Again, there's a lot of truth that we know. To us, the bigger challenge is to do what we know we should do. So in my own life, what would that be? Well, when we were at convention back in Nashville, we got to hear a Chinese pastor who's planting churches there in great numbers. And as he was talking in an interview format, he was sharing with us that the real key to what's going on in China is the prayer of the church. People taking time to pray and call out to Almighty God about doing an impossible task, which God is doing incredible things there in China. And I was convicted by that. Now, I pray in my own personal life. I pray here in the church ministry. But I was convicted by that very talk that I want my prayer life to take a step up. I want to be more committed, more intentional. I want to grow in that area. So that's one thing even this next week. I want to see God be working in my life, growing my prayer life, both personally and in the context of our church family. Well, what's one thing for you? Think about it. Pray about it. See if there's something that God would put upon your heart, something you know He wants you to do, but for whatever reason, you're not obeying at that point. If you have the light, shine it. Shine it. Hold it forth. Realize it will expose you. And act on it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity that we have had to take a look at these incredible verses. Your Word is powerful. Your Word changes our life. If we simply read and obey through the power of Your Spirit what Your Word says, we will be changed people. And we'll be people that will be very compelling to the world around us because Your Word is not how the people of this world live. So, Father, I pray that You'll help us to be people who know Your Word, yes, but live it. And may the words of these verses, Father, stick with us through this week and cause Christ-like changes in us. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.